You know, I went to preach in for Reverend Keon Henderson in Houston last year. So I met a couple of Nigerians in the church. And they said, Reverend Julia was with us here. He was just, you know, doing business with us, doing business with us. Suddenly he just said, no, I must go back to Africa. He said, I must go. I was saying, why? Stay here. He said, and he went back. He said, the next thing, we didn't recognize him again. He just exploded in Nairobi, Kenya. Let's put our hands together for Reverend Julian Kulia, all the way from Nairobi, Kenya.
Hallelujah. Just say amen. Believe what I'm saying is good. Buona asifiwe. That means praise the Lord in Swahili. It's good to be here in Nigeria. And thank you once again to my beloved brother, Pastor Poggi, for all that you do for this nation and for the continent. I salute you, sir. The grace on your life is fire. It's fire. And my newfound friend, Pastor Toyin, it's always such a pleasure. You have the most gracious smile and countenance. I'm so grateful. And Lady Mercy Chinwo, thank you so much. I use this opportunity to connect East Africa. So Pastor Poju, please. You cannot enjoy this thing on your own. Yeah? Nigeria. You cannot enjoy on your own. Minister Mercy, there are some Kenyans you must meet. Who you must raise. The book of Ephesians 3:2 says that it is... Have you not heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to me for you? What sits on you is not for you. So can you come to Kenya and pick some people? And Uganda. And Tanzania, we are waiting for you. I will use my brother to use you in every legal way. Amen. Are you ready? I prayed, I said, Father, they are fresh. Help me to inject this thing this morning. May the syringe work. May it enter in Jesus' name. I pray, Holy Spirit, help us this morning to hear you and to understand in Jesus' name. Please have your seats. As far as I'm concerned, this is now officially from 8 to 9. This is now a kingdom business class. Is that okay? Okay. Because if I take that element, then I'm able to speak on my lane properly. I'll let Pastor Poju and Apostle Grace come and deal with, you know, the six elements of grace and the seven different dimensions of faith that is entering. But let me deal with kingdom business. That is my lane. Is that okay? Shall we flow? Number one, I believe from what we discussed yesterday, light and discernment. Do you remember? Now, I believe without the shadow of a doubt in our time that I sadly heard someone say, I won't tell you if it's a man of God or not a man of God, I'll leave you to discern that, a woman of God or just a person, saying that there's no more revelation. They are right and they are not completely right. Yes, God is done with revelation, but we are not done discovering. Are we together? Yes, because God is all-knowing, but we are ever discovering. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the honor of kings to search it out. I give honor and grace to all the leaders of this great ministry and also to all the fellow graces that have been speaking here. What a consortium of graces, my goodness. And so the first thing that I want to deal with today is I believe that God Number one is modeling a new way. Because we are discovering, I believe that God is modeling a new way. Isaiah 43:18, he says, behold, I do a new thing. Now it springs forth, but two very important things happen there. He says, do you not see it? Sight is key, which means the light is important for this sight. And to be able to understand that, there are two things there that are spoken of. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? Meaning perception, discernment is as important as the light to see. So we have to come and understand, I will do a new thing, but two things are needed. I need you to have sight, Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding may be open. So the inner eye must be open to be able to understand, inner eyes to be able to understand. But light is needed and discernment is needed. So God wants to model a new way. I believe he wants to model a new way for us to live. As we wait for the coming of the Lord, there are some things I believe that have to be done, because thy kingdom come, I believe, is not only a future event, it's also a present event. So we have to understand the modeling of a new way. Jesus says, do not worry about what you shall eat, do not worry about what you shall drink, do not worry about what you shall wear, and do not worry about tomorrow. But he did not say, don't think about it. He did not say, do not consider it. Being in the kingdom does not suspend common sense. And I'm concerned that there seems to be a desire for us to suspend our daily experience with a future knowledge. I believe the two can coexist. And God is going to help us. That's why he says, behold, I do a new thing. So he's modeling a new way. Number two, there are two things I believe that must be taken seriously by every believer. Legality and jurisdiction. Legality and jurisdiction. This should be a key study for every child of God. Legality and jurisdiction. Find me in the book of Luke. Chapter 13, verse 10. Jesus is in the synagogue. And while he's in the synagogue, he's teaching in one of the synagogues, something happens. He says in verse 11 that there was a woman. There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Part of our responsibility as the children of righteousness and as followers of our kinsman redeemer is to bring others to the place of redemption. So when he's doing this, the Bible says she had been bound by a spirit of infirmity. Let me assure you, every illegal disease on you is a spirit. Okay. Every disease that is on you is a spirit. This woman for 18 years was bent over. It means, can I get one volunteer, please? Just one brother or sister. Thank you, sir. I need you to do me a favor. By the way, you guys are so well dressed. Hey, Jesus, this protocol team here. Just every year. You know, anyway, let me stay to mine. So I want you to bend over. When I'm bent over, it means even when I pass other people, they can't see me. It means that my face is hidden. It means that there are many things going on, including shame, including lack of ability to rise. Aha. The spirit of infirmity will cause you not to rise, will cause you to come into a synagogue. Watch this. She had been coming to the synagogue 18 years. So it means that her condition had become normal. And I believe in Africa, we have a lot of abnormalities that we have called normalities. And it means for 18 years, people got used to it in the church. This is the way it's supposed to be. And redemption comes in, righteousness comes in and says, I cannot allow you. One of the purposes of righteousness is that it cannot come and leave you the way it found you. So Jesus comes, and the Bible says he sees her. Please go back to the scripture. The Bible says that he saw her. When Jesus saw her, behold, there was a woman, 18 years, was bent over and could not raise herself up. There are many people in the kingdom who cannot raise themselves up. It is going to take the work of righteousness, the work of understanding kingdom, to raise people up that are not able to raise themselves up. To God be the glory. And so, please continue with that scripture. Let's go to the next verse. Then it says that Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. And when Jesus saw her, the Bible says that he looked at her and spoke to her. Could we put the scripture up again? I need it for reference. He says, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Next verse. And then he says that, verse 13, please. He laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. The function of righteousness is to one of the greatest privileges we have. Pastor Poju, other speakers, Lady Mercy. One of the greatest privileges we have is the privilege to help other people find their light. I'll deal with that tomorrow. And that privilege helps us to be able to find those who have a bent and be able to release words, because grace travels in words. I came all the way from Kenya to release words. That is one of the greatest avenues of grace, is words. John 17:8, Father, the words you gave me, I've given them. So words create an avenue for grace to find expression. So when you see us here, all the people coming here, nobody's acting. We're all speaking. God in the beginning said, let there be words. So the expression of the things of the Spirit must find its avenue through words. So we've come to release words. Your pastor has brought people from all over the world to speak. Words have built cities. There are people who miss their moments by using the wrong words. I'm praying for you that one of the things you will receive from here is the ability. When Nehemiah stood before the king, his words determined his future. And there are words you can speak that can determine how things will work out in your life. For 18 years, someone is in a synagogue making an abnormality become normal to people. It is not normal to consistently walk in debt as a continent and have our faces down. There must be a place for redeemers in Jesus' name. Thank you, sir. So the Bible says Jesus touched her. But let me go a little bit further. Then he says to her, woman, you have been loosed from your infirmity. Hallelujah. Then in verse 15, I think. Verse 13. I want you to see something here. And he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. 14. Then when the ruler of the synagogue saw this, answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to be to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. The next, the Lord then answered and said, it's not just Jesus. The Bible says the Lord answered. I don't have time. But the Lord answered. There are places I want you to understand that heaven will speak for you. And the Lord answered and said, you hypocrites. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? Then he says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? Immediately Jesus introduced legality. Legality. You must understand the place of legality and jurisdiction in this understanding of the marketplace. So tomorrow I hope to deal a little bit with that legality and jurisdiction. But today I want to focus on something else. But let me just continue there. So Jesus answers and says, should she, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Please catch this. A daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Being a child of Abraham does not exempt you from being bound by Satan. The Bible says, my people, they perish for lack of knowledge. I want to give us some things. Let's continue. Let me just show you a bit more in that scripture. And as I begin to build my case. So then he says, think of it for 18 years. Jesus is letting them consider 18 years. Should she not be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? I want to put it to you. There are things we've gone through for 20 years that are not normal. There are things we've accepted as norms that should not be normal. And so we believe that there's going to be an eye opening, the eyes of our understanding, of our enlightenment will be open to come into an understanding of what is dark in my life that I'm calling light. Discernment helps you be certain what God has called light, don't call darkness. And what God has called darkness, don't call light. I'll show you in a minute. Because remember, Jesus, in I believe it's in John chapter 4, he's having an exchange with the woman at the well from verse 7. And the woman begins to speak to him and says, we have worshipped in this mountain for long. Jesus responds and says, you've worshipped, but you've worshipped what you don't know. It is possible to have an 18-year experience thinking you are worshiping, but you are worshiping what you don't know. In understanding legality and jurisdiction, things begin to become aligned for clarity and for speed in the name of Jesus. So, this woman, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, thy kingdom come. Jesus did not die just so that I can go to heaven only. The condition of my assignment on the earth is supposed to be affected by understanding resurrection power, by understanding being united with him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and also in his ascension. The moment I begin to understand my rights in the kingdom of God, I can be able to speak to him as a son, not as a friend. A citizen of the kingdom of heaven. She was bound for 18 years. Bound. Let me give you number three. So you must understand legality and jurisdiction. This is a key study for every believer. Number one, I believe that God is modeling a new way. Number two, you must put yourself to study legality and jurisdiction. And tomorrow I hope we'll deal with a bit of that. Today I want to spend some time on number three. It says, righteousness is not a past occurrence, neither is it a future event. It is a present reality. Righteousness is not a past occurrence, neither is it a future event. It is a present reality. Psalm 89, verse 14. Says, righteousness and justice are foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. I'll give you an understanding of righteousness in a few minutes. His righteousness. Romans 5:17. Righteousness is a gift. Mm-hmm. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. This, I believe, is where truth can be incomplete by taking one scripture and making a doctrine out of it without proper reference to other understandings of righteousness. I want to deal with this a little bit and then I move to my points today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I want to show you what we just read. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So this kingdom has been given to us I have a question for you. Let's reason together. If it has been given, why should I seek it? Why should I seek for what has been given to me freely? Questions we should ask. If righteousness is a gift according to Romans 5:17, why should I seek after righteousness? Romans 5:17 clearly tells me this is a gift. Okay. Let me see if somebody has a box. Good sir. I see you have a box next to you, a Bible box. A Bible box next to you. Is it okay if I borrow it for illustration? I like giving examples. Actually, you should have left the Bible inside because it's part of the example I want to give. It's now, unfortunately, you all know what is inside. But yesterday I was trying to tell you, if this was wrapped and given to me, I would not know what is inside unless I open it. Are we together? If it is a gift and it has been released to me, I'm not able to understand the gift, neither am I able to utilize the gift unless I can unwrap and open the gift so that I can discover what is inside. So when it says seek first the kingdom of God and seek righteousness, I believe there's an element of righteousness that must be sought. Number two, 1 Timothy 6:11. There's an element of righteousness that must be pursued. It's there in scripture. Pursue after righteousness. Please put it up. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue. Which means that there's a place to pursue righteousness. I can run after righteousness. I can pursue it. And this helps me begin to understand that receiving a gift is not the same as opening a gift. And opening a gift is not the same as discovering the gift. And sometimes I may need to read the manual of the gift I've received so that I can understand how to operate the gift. Different elements of the gift. Are we together? So I have to pursue righteousness. This means righteousness cannot be left in its state of giftedness. The gift is great, but a greater. This is why I believe a lot of people will get to heaven and ask God a lot of questions, and he'll say, but I gave it to you. It was there on the earth for your utilization, but you never used the gift. To have a gift in your bedroom that sits there, if I constantly had backaches and somebody had bought me a big massage chair and I never open it, I'll get to heaven and say, Father, life was great, but my back. He says, there was something in your room to use every day for your back, but you never opened it. Please look at a neighbor and say, you must open it. Tell them you must pursue it. Okay. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21. It says, he who follows righteousness, which means righteousness can be followed. Which means righteousness can be followed. It can be sought after. It can be pursued. It can be followed. Matthew 5:6. And the final part is that righteousness can be hungered for. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Which means I can hunger for righteousness. Please help me define. How is it I have a gift and I hunger for it? It means that the moment I discover it, I want more. The moment I discover what it's about, I want to drink it and I want to eat it. Is it Jeremiah 15, 16? Thy words were found and I ate them. Your words were found and I ate them, isn't it? This means that I can hunger for the word, and which means righteousness can be hungered for. It can be sought for. It can be pursued, it can be followed, it can be hungered for, and it can be thirsted for. Glory be to God. Now with that understanding, Proverbs 29:2. Thank you, sir. Proverbs 29:2. It says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When a wicked man rules, the people groan. When the righteous are in authority. In other words, pekoprada. When the Sadakim is another word for righteousness. It's a Hebrew word for righteousness. When the Sadakim, loyalty, faithful, it's kindness done without expecting anything in return. So when Jesus finds a woman who can't help herself, he helps her without expecting anything in return. Are we together? Okay, good. This will build a good case. So when the righteous rule, the kind of person who does business operations, the kind of person who builds schools, not just for bottom line, the kind of person who builds what they build to benefit other people, this kind of person, when they are in authority, the people rejoice. I'll show you. One story of a believer lost and got into loss because something went wrong with their business. He could not raise money. And one of the brothers came and asked, why is this brother throwing away their business at a loss? And the man was answered and said, because they're in trouble. They're in financial trouble. And the man said, well, can I look at their books? He looked at the books and said, this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to not look at this as if we're throwing it at a loss. What I'll do for you is I will implement something that will give us $1,000 every day. And in less than 3 years, we should be able to redeem what you had lost. We will partner and find a way to split 50-50. In other words, this brother received a sadakim in his business. I'm trying to say, believers will not find you in an unfair, unfortunate position and take advantage of you. That is not righteousness. Please, can we talk? I will not find you at a place. Let me not go ahead of myself. So there's another one. A woman, she had this trouble in my country. So the bank was coming for her land, and the bank wanted to repossess the land. Then she went and met a sadakim. What this man did, he came and sat with her. He looked at the land, and by God's wisdom, he saw greater value and was able to go and stand in her stead to the bank. But he said to the woman, this is what we shall do. You won't have everything you want, but the bank won't have everything it wants. I'm going to stand in the middle, and we are going to build apartments on this property. What we will do is I will use 25 of the apartments to pay off what you owe the bank. And then you and I will split the rest in an equal way for your land contribution and me for this. What had happened? She had met a sadakim. We are not in the business of taking advantage where others have had failure. Righteousness is not going to ask a woman who has a bent for 18 years to give a seed first before she... I didn't want to go there. Sadakim, righteousness, does not want anything in return. The system, the Babylonian system, insists that you must lose so that I gain. So, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. That did not mean that we are not to understand, because for God so loved the world. No, there's a difference between chronos and kairos. I want to save that for tomorrow so that I don't go ahead of myself. But the Babylonian system is not our system. Are we understanding one another? I want to deal with a few things today, and they're going to be deep. I want to give you another example. So when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Why? Because there's a place they see sadakims and say, this is good news. Hayada. It means when we come in, people should say, good tidings have come. And I'll show you why Jesus was a sadakim. And I'll prove it to you through scripture. So the Babylonian system, let me give you another example, 2 Kings 4:1. Are you learning something? Yes. 2 Kings 4:1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Continue, please. He then says, so Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." There's a lot of revelation here, but it's not my message. Continue. Then Elisha said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few." What Elisha was about to do was that he was about to become a Sadakim. Righteousness invades a situation and makes sure that I don't leave you the way I found you. For us to pass through Africa and leave it the way we found it is going to be an error. When you tell me that it is a continent full of children of Abraham, sons of Abraham, the inheritance of Abraham, and yet we leave it in a worse dilapidated state than we found it, is going to be an error. There must be something for righteous people to understand what to do. And I know what we teach. We talk about righteousness so that you enter an office in government and you say that I'm righteous. But let me assure you, there's a deeper dimension of this righteousness, and I want to bring it to us and hopefully release an understanding so that people... I'm looking at your land. You are having to sell it to pay fees. But I cannot be able to allow you to enter a place of desperation when I'm a Sadakim. So you're selling at a loss so that your children can go and read. God wants to introduce a new kind of people in Africa. So Jesus deals with a bound woman for 18 years. Luke 13:10, as we read. But let me take you somewhere else. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. I wanted to use my first half of the time to build this, and then I move to understanding the systems. Blind Bartimaeus, Mark 10:46. They came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road doing what? He was doing what? Talk to me, I know it's early. He was doing what? Okay, verse 47. When he heard... This is why your hearing must be clear. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out loud and say, "Jesus, son of David, have what?" We're dealing with righteousness, Sadakim. Then many warned him to be quiet. I find it interesting that people who are fine always want people who are not fine to be silent. Tell your neighbor, "I won't be quiet." Can move to another seat, but I won't be quiet. This conference is not just a conference, it's an encounter. And some of you need to understand that you cannot leave here the same way. I don't know if all of you are fine, but I came for that one person who is saying, "I'm not okay and I cannot leave here the same way I came." Is there any such person in the room? Okay, so I'm in the right room. Good. So blind Bartimaeus was crying out. Let's go back. Let's see. I want to show you a point here. And the Bible says, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." There's a certain thing God wants to do in modeling a new way that many people want people to shut up about, but we will not be quiet. I've even said to very deep scholars, you know, I really believe the greatest hindrance to the new thing that God wants to do is going to be the church. The church is the most powerful institution on the face of the earth. Dr. Bill Winston says that many times. But do you know, and when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the things that men have made church. The entry of kingdom matters is going to cause a lot of shaking in church systems. Traditional church is going to be in trouble because of the new thing that God wants to release. I pray that ministers and priests will align with God's new move. Because, and let me tell you, anytime you see a new move of God, a kingdom move, its greatest resistance is in the systems of men. I assure you, there's always tension between kingdom and church until the day we shall fully understand how to align kings and priests. The king-priest understanding. For instance, right now in the world, what God wants to raise are Esthers. Oh, Julian. If Esther is given to Elijah, he'll produce a prophetess. And whereas the prophetess is needed, right now, if God needs an Esther, then a Mordecai is necessary. But most people don't know where to place Mordecai. So a wise priest will know how to collaborate the grace that they carry with the grace of a Mordecai. Because Mordecai knows what is needed in the palace. And the palace is not only looking for a prophetess, it's looking for a deliverer. Oh my God. So, blind Bartimaeus, let me show you. Where are we? Come on, Julian. Oh, look at that clock. Well, let me ask you, Covenant Nation, are your clocks working with other clocks? Do they work the same way with other clocks? Many warned him to be quiet. He cried out all the more. Okay, verse 49. I want to show you two different analogies here. Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. Righteousness can't hear you. A righteous man can't hear you and ignore you. Then they called to the blind man, saying, be of good cheer. Rise. He's calling you. Next verse. And throwing aside his garment. I want to show you something here. Throwing aside his garment. Do you have TPT version? Could you give me TPT for this? I want to show you. He threw off his beggar's cloak. It wasn't just any garment. It was his beggar's cloak that he threw off. Jumped up and made his way to Jesus. Watch this. Please come with me. Very important. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? It was obvious, but it was not obvious. The man replied, my master, please let me see again. Aha. Continue. Jesus responded, your faith heals you. Go in peace. Your sight is restored. All at once, the man's eyes opened. He could see again. I want you to see something. He began at once to follow Jesus. Are you seeing that? Okay, let me give you another understanding of this. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Luke 18, 35. Same story, but I need you to see something. Sadakim. It happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. Keep going. Hearing a multitude passing by, he asked him what it meant. Can you just jump to verse 42? Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Where was Jesus going? If any of you are good students and you remember, where was Jesus going? He was going to Jericho. So look at this. Your faith, your sight, your faith has made you well. Keep going. Immediately received his sight and followed him, which means he was following Jesus. I need two volunteers, please. Two volunteers. I like illustrations. Please, come. So assume you are Jesus. And assume this is Bartimaeus. Now he can see. So because he can see, he can do what? Aha, so walk. Now follow. It means blindness can deter you from being able to follow, even when you want to follow. But come with me, watch this. So Jesus makes his way into Jericho. We're now in the first chapter of Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Who is following Jesus? Look at your neighbor, say righteousness. Okay. Now, Jesus enters Jericho. Just keep the scriptures. And verse 2 says that when he entered Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. What cloak did this man take off? Who is he following? Where has Jesus entered? Who is he about to meet? Continue. Verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. That height had been ordained from the beginning of time. Continue. He ran ahead, climbed up a sycamore tree. He was going to pass by. Continue. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house, please. My third volunteer. Zacchaeus. In fact, you're the... Just based on these three, you're the right man. So here's Zacchaeus now. He has come down. He has come down from the tree. So Zacchaeus, come to this side, Zacchaeus. They can't see you. Be with Jesus. I'm playing, my brother. So put the scripture up. He looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus, continue, please. Today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him. How? Continue. And the Bible says, when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Continue. Then Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. Half my goods to the poor. And if I have anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. In other words, I'll give away half. Aha. But if I have anything, I'll give away four times what I took from anyone, and he still would have. Who was with Jesus? Who was blind a few minutes ago? What did he take off? And now, Zacchaeus, watch this, next verse. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Legality. Are you seeing that? So all of a sudden, this blind Bartimaeus now can see, but he's around Jesus when Zacchaeus gives away half of everything he has. Righteousness cannot just leave you because you've received your healing. It will even introduce you to other dimensions. Are you understanding? So, thank you very much, my brothers. I want to now come to my point, so that you can see something. So Zacchaeus comes with Jesus, and all of a sudden, he's beginning to see benevolence. He's beginning to see commonwealth. He's beginning to see how the kingdom of God is supposed to operate. And all of a sudden, there's an understanding. Now, let's talk some facts. I want to tell you, when you talk of Abrahamic understanding, Sharia banking is more compliant with what we should be doing with kingdom banking than the regular banks are. In Sharia banking, because it's closer to the Abrahamic ways than our current banking system, they emulate banking as close to their belief as much as possible. For example, if you go to a Muslim bank and you go for a mortgage, when they take a mortgage, they don't charge you interest. They do something called a profit share. So as the house is gaining value, the bank is gaining value. In the event you default on your mortgage, they don't come and take advantage of you. What they do is they put the house on the market. If so far you had paid 5 million naira on a 10 million naira house, what the bank will do is put it on the market. If the house fetches 15 million naira, the bank will take the balance of what you had left with them and give you the rest. That's Sharia banking. It follows the Abrahamic understanding of how to be a tzaddikim. Are we together? Not interest, profit share model. So, interest, neshek, in Hebrew, is to bite. The etymological root word of nekesh is neshek, is venom, poison. In other words, if I start understanding interest and compound interest, it means that I'll enter a place where debt will become a thing that will be a problem to my heritage. So when we look at the way it works, when you talk of Babel and understanding Nimrod and how interest began to accumulate, this is where you get the word venom. Money Money in its original format, I don't have any money on me, but money in its original format was never meant to be, was meant to be a means of exchange, not stored value. Please come with me. I told you this is a business class, right? Okay. So it was never supposed to be a medium of stored value. It was supposed to be a medium of exchange. It is men who came and began to put stored value on money so that they can create something called debt. Ladies and gentlemen, I checked out last night. Nigeria debt at the moment is 149 trillion naira. In Kenya, every child that is born, even to a believer, is born in debt. I put it to you, it is the same in Nigeria. The way this system is designed, I want you to understand that the world systems are not built with the kingdom of God in mind. So when we say thy kingdom come, we must understand certain dynamics. I want to tell you, and please go Google this. You have AI, you have ChatGPT. There is no country in the world that will ever repay its debt. I don't care which government comes in. It is designed to make sure it is never paid. Are you ready to continue? So, one of the richest countries in the world is Norway. In fact, I believe now it's the richest. Their current wealth in Norway right now is $2.2 trillion. So, every citizen that is born in Norway is born with 340, like you're just born, you have $340,000 just by being born. Just by being born. So, please listen. This is important. So this system that is riddled with debt, this system that is riddled with debt, no matter how many conferences we have, there are some systems that are not intimidated until sons arise. And I want to say something dangerous here, and then I catch my flight. I believe to ask God to bless you in the Babylonic system is to ask God to put his seal on an illegality. I'm sitting on my chair now. This is my grace. And I don't mean that in arrogance. I'm telling you, I've dealt with billions. I've dealt with systems. I understand what I'm talking about. When a believer goes to start a salon, just by the fact that you're a son of Abraham, hell is geared towards you. So you must understand these things. That's why I said this morning, Father, inject them. To ask God to bless you in a system where you are charging people usury is to ask God to put a seal on an illegality. So that I can trade over my brother and over my sister and take advantage of them for my individual growth and tell God, bless this. It is an illegality. I'm telling you. So that even as you pray for light, you must be able, when you design, to know this is not light. And because it is not light, it is not right. Ayada. In the apartments I'm building right now in Kenya, I said to my team, if a waiter cannot afford these houses, they are too expensive. So we spend time going through the system to make sure we introduce God. Ayada. And when you begin to do that, you become Sadakim, because we have a housing problem in Kenya. So what is happening? A lot of people are building houses so that people can enter those houses. But we had to think like Sadakim. I'm going ahead of myself. So we started saying, I want to have a way for you to pay for 25 years.
I don't want to charge you interest, but I want to make sure that I don't bankrupt the company. God, what is the idea to house your people and to give them a community of believers so that we don't find ourselves at a disadvantage? God started giving us the blueprint. Right now, if you come to the houses we are building, and tomorrow I'll show you proof. I'm not just talking. Tomorrow I'll show you proof. Will you be here? We are building the houses. You can get a studio in our place for $120. Let me tell you something. Per month. Let me tell you something. In Nairobi, our land is as expensive as Tokyo. To live in Nairobi right now. And let me tell you, my friends, our Ishmael brothers, and I'm coming to that. They are coming to do these things, not as individuals, but as a community. Because when they come as individuals, they can't beat the system. But when you come as a community, your bottom line thinking is very different. If I go to Lagos right now in the CBD and look at a building as Julian, I'll try and understand the ROI, the IRR, the EBITDA of this construction, how long it'll take for me to get back my money, and when I can get out and make as much as I can. When I come as a community, I come to say, how do we take this territory? You gotta understand these things. Even Joseph was blessed in Egypt, but he had to reintroduce another system. The Bible says money finished. And when money finished, he introduced God's system, seed. He said once money finished power, he now brought God's system into Egypt. He gave them seed. When money failed in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, and all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed. Next verse, watch what he did. The Bible says, next verse, please. Then Joseph said, give your livestock. I'll give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. He continues. The Bible says, at the end of this, they brought their livestock. If you continue further, you'll discover the next thing Joseph gave them was seed. The system of this world will not work for the kingdom agenda. God must introduce his system. When you say thy kingdom come, there's another dimension that is about to be introduced. Can I go further? I have 10 more minutes and I want to just make sure. So we must connect the... after Rema Feast, we went and met with some of the top... We had our meetings. Kayabos katalada. We had our meetings and all these group CEOs... Listen to me. This kingdom is powerful. I'm going to say it until it enters. This kingdom is powerful. And it is filled with... When the world begins to see us wake up as a community, let me assure you, they will not be able to ignore us. When we finished, I chased one CEO and I came and I said to him, I heard you announce when you were speaking at our meeting that there are jobs and there's a call center and there's this happening. He went and showed me a call center, 35,000 jobs coming in there. I said, introduce me to the owner. And when I got introduced to the owner, we had good meetings, a believer. And when we sat with the believer, we came up with an agreement of how we will engage 5,000 young people to get employed. Not my relatives. You see, Sadakim don't think about their relatives. No, Sadakim have a kingdom understanding. That the things and the influence that we have is not for us, but is for the sake of the kingdom. Any man God has lifted is not for them. Am I helping somebody this morning? Any person God has lifted, God wants them to be consumed with the matters of the kingdom, not with the fact that they can extend their house. Let me tell you, when you handle God's business, God will handle yours. The system must be understood. That's why I said yesterday, there's no such thing as kingdom economy. Because in this kingdom, we don't deal like that. We must understand the system. The privilege of helping men find their sight. Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. And there was light. So I'm going to ask you some tough questions. In the system, the way it has been designed, that Mansa Musa, I believe the second wealthiest man that has ever lived after Solomon. He carries so much gold on his way to Mecca, and he stops in Egypt. He deploys so much gold in Egypt
In fact, he deployed gold that the economy of Egypt collapsed. The way the system is designed is that if you have and I have, the other system must collapse. I have a question for you. Why is it the day you get and I get, the system will collapse? It's because the system is designed to make sure that some people must have and others don't have. I hope you're getting angry. It's my function here is not to excite you. No, it's to give you knowledge and understanding. The fact that if all of you here got homes, the Nigerian economy would be shaken. Why? Because the system is designed that some of you must not be okay. Mansa Musa, gold all over Egypt, the Egyptian economy collapsed. I said this is a business class. Go and study why. Okay, let me show you some things. This is the dilemma. Because the whole system of trading on that economy was introduced by Lucifer. I'm in Ezekiel 28. Let me start from verse 17. Are you learning? Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid before you before kings that they might gaze at you. Watch this. The abundance, you defiled your sanctuary by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Do you have the amplified version? He says, by the unrighteousness of your trade. In other words, if we can develop a system that keeps Nigeria in debt for the next 100 years, I want you to understand that the very basis of that system is not the kingdom of God. And if Nigeria is going to come out of that system, the entry of Daniel's and Joseph's in the culmination of the grace that is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is a must in our generation, or our children will not attend these churches. When they see what we believe in, and they see that there's no action to what we believe in. So the whole trading system in New York, when you go to Wall Street and understand the very basis of what those systems are built on, they are built on a system that says, how quickly can I take from you so that I have more and you have less? Never has that system been built to benefit you. Okay. The Holy Spirit comes and descends. The first act of the Holy Spirit is that the people were filled, correct? And that they began to speak in other tongues, correct? The next act of the Holy Spirit is that people were made benevolent. That righteousness caused people to give until nobody among them had need. Did you see that? Which means righteousness is engaged in commonwealth. Righteousness is engaged in making sure that if I'm coming to church and I don't have a care in the world where you live, where you're coming from, what's going on in your life, we are not kingdom. Look at your neighbor right now. Ask them, neighbor, I'm sorry I didn't even know where you came from this morning. I don't even know if you have eaten. Is on their own business. According to Ezekiel 28:16, Lucifer is a trader. Even when he took Jesus to a high mountain, he was trying to trade. He said, if you give me worship, I'll give you these kingdoms. Yes, he's a trader. And the economic systems, all of you in private equity, in hedge funding, you know what I'm talking about. Deny it or don't deny it. You know the very efficacy of that system is to make sure that you take from. So God must introduce another system. And the people he's going to use to introduce that system are sitting here. Which means we will enter redemptive work. Redemptive banking, redemptive education, redemptive housing, redemptive governments,
redemptive leaders. Are you understanding what I mean? That we can begin in Africa to believe God for leaders who are not thinking about themselves. That's why I said, prepare my plane so I can go to the airport after this before I'm caught by somebody. Nigeria, may you enter a season where your leaders think more about you than about themselves. Yeah. Africa, may we enter a season where we are thinking about the people of God more than we are about ourselves. It says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. So, I take 2 more minutes to tell you this, that the problem is this. The dilemma, when he says, let there be light, the dilemma is that all of you in that system, Satan being a trader knew, the one thing I must deny these people is time with God. Where are my 4 volunteers or 3 volunteers? So all of you, and I can say this with confidence, all of you are in the system. How do I know? You went to school, you graduated, you got an interview, you finished university, you got a job. Your child was born, went to school, interview, got a job. Your grandchild has come. All of you, follow me. We are all just going, busy. What school did you go to? What work are you doing? Somebody has determined from 8 to 5 what you should earn. I discovered, and tomorrow if you are here, I'll help you. There's a dimension in this kingdom where it is possible that what people work for 5 years, you can make it in a month. Are you ready to learn? Oh, you're not ready to learn. Are you ready to learn on this side? There's a dimension in this kingdom where what takes people 6 years, because the competition is for your time with God. Because if you can't, Job 22:21, this dimension. Job 22:21 says, acquaint yourself with God. How do I make sure you don't acquaint yourself with God? By putting you in the system. And everybody is busy, 8 to 5, I go home. The only achievement we have in life is that I have a house, a car, and children in university. That is a lie from hell. There's more in this thing than just a job and a graduation. Somebody shout, thy kingdom come. I believe Job 22:21. Please, I need to finish. Jesus. So Lucifer decided, because I can't get them, let me get their time. And so I put you in a system where every day, because let me tell you, it is more beneficial for Pastor Poggio to call this meeting every week for us. Why is it once a year? Because you don't have time. If we had time, we'd be here talking God agenda. Job 22:21. Put that for me. He says, acquaint yourself with God and be at peace. Thereby, good will come to you. You don't need a visa to go look for good. There's a place in the kingdom where when you acquaint yourself with God, that there's a position you can have where good begins to come to you. If I'm talking to you, shout amen. Amen. Now, in the next scripture, he says, receive please instruction from his mouth. So right now, the instruction people are getting is not from his mouth. It's from 5 hours of TikTok. And every generation has its dilemma. Our parents' dilemma was careers. Our children's dilemma is social media. That whatever it is, I'll make sure I have their eyes and I have their ears. Because if they can't see and if they can't hear, they will not acquaint themselves with God and they will not have time to receive instruction. He says, receive instruction, please. Put it up. And says from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. Kala, continue. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up and you will remove iniquity far from your tents. Keep going. Then, after you've done those things, you will lay up gold in the dust and the gold of, in other words, there's a place where God becomes your gold. Nigeria, I come in the name of the Lord. I declare this generation
shall begin to change this system. I want you to go to two people and say, I'm not going to stay in this system any longer. I'm going to receive light. I'm going to receive knowledge. And as for me and my children, we are coming out of the system. We are coming out of the system. May God release fresh light. Fresh light for this understanding. Why? Because we need kingdom champions. And Nigeria, my function here was to come and raise some kingdom champions. If I'm talking to a kingdom champion, shout, I hear you. If I'm talking to redemptive CEOs, shout, I hear you. If I'm talking to redemptive educationists, shout, I hear you. If I'm talking to redemptive educationists, say, I hear you. If I'm talking to redemptive bankers, say, I hear you. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. One more time, shout, thy kingdom come. I'll see you tomorrow by God's grace.